Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we talk Midwestern State football with head coach Rich Renner. Be sure to tell your friends about the Stain Gang Podcast. Midwestern State will be at UT Permian Basin this Saturday night at 6 o'clock. You can see the game on Flow College. Make your plans to be at Memorial Stadium on October 4th when Texas A&M Kingsville will visit the Mustangs. That'll be a 6 o'clock start on October 4th. Midwestern State still in pursuit of that elusive first victory after hosting Eastern New Mexico here on Family Weekend. And it looked like it was going to be a track meet at the start of the game, but eventually they kind of pulled away from you. Offensively, that's probably as good a game as you've played all year.
Most definitely. The offense, Coach Bryant and the offensive staff did an unbelievable job. Both mixing it up, running and throwing, and did a great job keeping us in the game all game. Obviously we would want to have more points there, but we didn't do it.
You had 31 points.
31. We had that one touchdown though that I threw the challenge flag for that we didn't receive, and we were hoping to get that. And that was a crucial spot in the game. Not that, it would have helped the defense, but it obviously would have helped the morale coming back out in the second half, with us getting the ball back. And and it's 21-14, and then obviously we don't get it. We missed a field goal. Then they get it. Three plays later, they score. So now it's 28-14. It just kind of really took the wind out of our sails.
Was DeMonte the intended receiver on that
play? He was not the intended receiver, but he made a heck of a catch.
He almost made a circus catch.
Yes, sir, he did. It was impressive going up one-handed and going down.
A highlight reel catch. They ruled it incomplete, and then they couldn't make the replay system work. That's the way it goes. I mean, we played for 100 years that way, so we can live with it, I think.
Most definitely, most definitely. No, the referees did a great job, all game long, and kudos to them. I know it was a tough call. It's hard to see, even on the video. It's hard to see, after looking back at it afterwards.
Yeah, we did get a chance to see it on the big screen, and it looked like it might have hit the ground. Because I don't know that there was going to be enough there to overturn the call they made on the field. So because they ruled it incomplete, I'm not sure. And vice versa, if they ruled it complete and Eastern had challenged, I don't know that they could have overturned it. But they couldn't even get it to work. And that was operator error. So just for those who were upset about the replay system, it's just the way it goes, though, when you're dealing with technology. It's just like when you're at work and all of a sudden your desktop isn't working. It's kind of the same thing. So we talked about the offense. Now let's get to the bad news. And they just ran right through you, Coach.
They did. They did. It was embarrassing. Obviously, it was not something that we obviously planned for. When you work 2 weeks on something and you figure, the kids understand it. They know what they're doing. And we had great walkthroughs. We had great practices. Even on Friday, we had Saturday, but before the game, we had a walkthrough, went over all the adjustments and formations and motions and all that good stuff that they do, that the option team does, and alignments, and everybody was on point. And so I felt pretty good going into the game that I felt like, hey, we're going to get lined up like we're supposed to. Okay, we know what our keys are, and it's not hard on our keys, and now we just have to execute the defense. And unfortunately, we couldn't do that. And particularly number one, like I said, give credit to Coach Lee and his staff and in Eastern New Mexico, but also too that their players did a great job of executing what they do best, and that's that triple option and getting it out on the perimeter, and we were not getting to the perimeter like we should. We were getting blocked and not getting off blocks and defeating the blocks, and then obviously it was a track meet. And then obviously we'd get them in a couple third down situations, and then all of a sudden the pass comes.
Yeah.
And so we stopped them, I think, four times. Two of them were on third down. Actually, we made them punt. One was right before half, and then the other time we stripped it in the red zone as they were going in to score another touchdown.
Early in the game, but I thought that was pivotal. You got the turnover, and then you couldn't capitalize on that. You end up turning the ball over on downs, and from that point on, it's kind of where – all of a sudden, you're two possessions down and had to start playing catch-up.
Most definitely, yeah. And that's what that type of offense wants you to do. They want to get ahead. They want you to play catch up, and now they control the time of possession. They control the ball. They control everything. And like I said, we couldn't get off the field, so we couldn't help ourselves. Not that we didn't have plenty of time. Our offense had the ball actually more time than
a few more seconds, albeit, but time of possession was almost dead even.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there were several statistical categories. First downs, another one, where you actually had an advantage.
Yes, sir.
Over Eastern New Mexico, but it's the old line. There's stats and lies.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the truth's on the scoreboard. So, again, that was a tough one to swallow just because we felt like that was a winnable game for us and we should have won the game. But like I said, we didn't play well enough defensively. You know, offense did a great job. A lot of positives coming out of the offense. You know, they're finally scoring and moving the ball. And not that they weren't moving the ball before, but, you know, just the output of yardage and running. And, you know, Kenji Johnson had a great game. And obviously, Longino throwing the football, except he had the one interception. And then, obviously, DeMonte Green, you know, continues to
man, he's having a heck of a season.
Tear up the Lone Star, and obviously not Lone Star, but just, you know, for us, you know, he's special. And so we're thankful to have him on the team.
He's among the best players in the Lone Star Conference.
Yes, sir, he is. He's hard to guard.
So things get a lot easier now. You got UT Permian Basin coming up in Odessa, and all they're doing is leading the conference in scoring with over 39 points a game and leading the conference in defense, giving up just 17 points a game. So it's another tough challenge coming
most
up for
definitely,
you this week.
Most definitely. Coach McCullen and his staff did a great job with that program since they've been down there, and they're doing a great job again this year as undefeated. And, you know, and it's going to be a dogfight down there, obviously, you know, with them throwing the football and running the ball. They do a great job running it, and I could see them trying to control again the time of possession and run the football. So we've got to do a great job defensively again. We've got to stop the run. We've got to fit correctly. We've got to tackle. We've got to get off blocks. We've got to play with more aggression, more physicality, more mental toughness than what we did against Eastern.
I mean, you almost have to expect that teams are going to try to run the ball against you.
Most definitely. And I wouldn't question them doing that, because obviously we haven't been very good in the run game, and so that's something that we've got to definitely improve on.
But the thing that I think is most impressive about Permian Basin, among the things that's most impressive, is their balance. I mean, this is kind of the opposite of what you saw last week, in that you kind of knew that 95% of the plays are going to be running plays. You don't know what Permian Basin is going to throw at you.
No, you don't. You don't. But, you know, like I said, Coach McCullough does a really good job of mixing it up, and he does a great job of personnelling you to, not to death, but personnelling you a lot and changing personnel and going fast and slowing the tempo down. And so where you can't substitute very much, but also, too, you know, you can't do certain things, you know, as far as calls and blitzes and everything else and packages that you might want to run, just because he doesn't give you a consistent personnel, you know, play in and play out. And so he does a great job. He's a great offensive-minded guy. And so definitely we've got our work cut out for us defensively.
So how do you counter that on defense when you can't make those substitutions and you have to kind of – make calls on the fly?
Well, I mean, you just got to put your kids in the best position possible. And by doing that, you've got to be ready for that, knowing that that's going to happen. And so you've got to have certain blitzes and certain packages that, you know, that you have out there that you're able to still get some of the same things out that you would in other packages. You might not just have the best players for that, where you might put a nickel in to play man coverage on a slot, and you might have a linebacker playing the slot versus a nickel or a skill guy. And so you just have to pick your poison. You have to be careful in the situation and try to catch them where they're not going to find you, you know, in that mismatch situation.
We get enamored looking at Permian Basin at the skill position players, but how are they in the trenches?
You know, they're really good in the trenches. They're big. They're not real heavy on the offensive line, but they're big and physical on the offensive line. And they've got an outstanding running back that can hit the hole and bounce it and take off at any moment. Super lightning quick, was all conference a couple years ago. I think he was honorable mention last year, which is amazing because he's pretty special. Quarterback is a transfer from West Texas. So we faced him last year. He's doing a great job managing the offense and running the football if people aren't open. And so he's protecting the ball and not throwing interceptions as well. And obviously that helps. But, they're obviously got two big tight ends that they like to run behind. And that number five, the running back, has a really good, obviously good vision and good burst and good top end speed. And so he did a number on Kingsville as well this past Saturday night.
The running back you're talking about is Corey Harris, but he's not their leading rusher. Cannon Gibson, their quarterback, is their leading rusher. So on top of everything else, you got to worry about a dual threat quarterback.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so that's what I'm saying. He's very talented, the quarterback is. But, again, we faced him at WT, so we know, at least have seen him before. We know about him. And he's surrounded with some good receivers that do some, make some acrobatic catches. And he's got a big offensive line that protects for him. And they'll max protect, which means keep everybody in and have two guys running routes and trying to hit the deep ball. So they're a big deep ball team and want to try to score quickly.
You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the way teams have run against you. We should point out that you ran the ball as well as you've run it all year. And after last week, I asked you if you had a back that you felt like you could just say, okay, this is your job. We're going to give you the football. You fed the ball to Kenji Johnson all night on Saturday, and he came through for you. He had a really good game.
He did. He is. He's very talented. We're thankful to have Kenji Johnson, local kid from Memorial High School and Coach Bendel. And so, like I said, he's a special young man, just a freshman and still learning. And, not super fast, not super flashy, but just gets the job done and runs hard and breaks tackles and is patient enough to see the vision on things. And so, offensive line did a great job of, being patient and opening the holes up for Kenji. And again, they were playing a lot of prevent pass defense type things, so it opened the opportunity for us to run the football, and obviously we were able to take advantage of it.
I get a kick out of it when you say he's not that fast. That's what they used to say about Emmett Smith too. He's not that fast. It looked to me like Kenji was running away from some people the other night.
He was. He's got a game speed that is much different than that 40 speed.
And it is different, isn't it?
It is.
You start running fast when those big guys are chasing you down.
Most definitely.
As far as your passing game, this is as good as Midwestern State's thrown the football in a couple of seasons now. I mean, you've obviously got a good quarterback and an outstanding set of receivers.
We do. The offense staff did a great job recruiting. Obviously, finding Longino was a huge point or a good plus for that, because he's athletic, he can run, he can throw. And he missed a few that were wide open that we could have had some more yards.
You know, the first couple of weeks he seemed like he was a reluctant runner. He seemed more willing to run Saturday night.
I think that comes with just him being more confident. You got to remember, this is really kind of his first year starting and leading a team. And I think he's kind of getting into his comfort zone with not only the scheme and the offense and the calls and understanding everything, but also, too, feeling confident in his legs and his ability and what he can do. And he rushed for a few yards, the other night as well, and was able to, I know we got sacked twice, but he was able to get away from some of the
pressure. Oh, he's done that all year. He's been able to buy himself time. He's good at moving up in the pocket. He's also good as a left-handed quarterback. If he gets flushed out to the right, he can still make a play.
Most definitely. And then, obviously, he's got, receivers to throw to and targets that can catch it and guys to do stuff with it, like a DeMonte Green, where he can take it to the house on one throw or one catch. And so we're very fortunate to be able to have that balance. And now, obviously, we've got to continue to get better in certain areas as well. But it was nice to see the improvement of the offense finally coming alive that we were hoping for from week one and week two and then finally it coming together week three. Now, again, we're playing a defense, like you said, that's number one in the conference statistically, and they play hard. They're very aggressive. The D-line is they're going to get pressure on the quarterback, and they're athletic. So we obviously, Coach Bryant and the offensive staff have their work cut out for them, this week with facing that.
But in some ways, are you – it's the old thing, styles make fights – in some ways, are you better suited to play Permian Basin than you were Eastern New Mexico?
You know, I can't answer that. You know, I don't know if we're definitely, you know, I don't know if we're actually suitable better or not worse. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, if we'd have played better defense at Eastern, that game's whole totally different. As we all know, I mean, we couldn't get a stop, bottom line, and they were scoring 8 touchdowns out of 12 possessions. Having the ball is just unacceptable. And I truly believe if we would get a couple stops here or there in the first half, second half, that game's totally different. It's changed. It's not the same. But, again, you know, we didn't play defense. And I don't – you know, again, I'm watching the film and seeing it and going over it and trying to make the corrections on the sideline. But to answer your question is, you know, obviously Permian Basin – you know, they're going to throw the football. They're going to, you know, like you said, run the football as well. And I would continue to run it after you see our rushing defense and how pathetic that is, that I would run the football against us as well. So I wouldn't even need to throw the football if I was the other team. And so that's the problem is that we've got to hone in on stopping the run as a defense before we can worry about stopping the pass.
So is your best defense right now just keeping the football?
Most definitely is. I'd say at this moment it would be is just keeping the football. And so maintaining the possession and holding on to the ball and all that good stuff would be keeping us off the field. You're exactly right. It helps the defense so much.
It looks like you've made a change in special teams.
We did. Obviously, Cohen Maroney as a field goal kicker. And as our kickoff guy, you know, Joe's been struggling a little bit with his accuracy. Not anything wrong with his leg or anything like that. It's just I think it's more in his mechanics, and we've been trying to correct it, or I've been trying to correct it and help him correct it, and we just haven't been very successful with it. And so Cohen comes in and hits a 43-yard field goal.
Center cut with room to spare.
Yes, or twice, because I had to call timeout.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I didn't think we were going to get it off, and he hit it the first time right before, you know, I called timeout, and then they snap it and kick it. And
it looked like there was a little confusion there, too, on the personnel coming in.
There was. Joe normally holds for Cohen. And so Landon didn't realize that Cohen was kicking, and so he went out there, and then Joe went out there to get him, and it was too late. Time was going down, and so Joe just made the smart decision to come off the field. And like I said, we got down to one, and I didn't want to lose that opportunity of getting a penalty for a delay of game. So I took the timeout, and obviously they got it off and kicked it through the uprights, and so we were worried after the timeout, was that going to ice our own kicker, and it didn't. Cohen was able to go in there and hit it right down in the middle again, and so I was proud of him for doing that. And then obviously he made the extra point on the next.
And Joe's punting really well for you.
You know, Joe's punting. You know, that's what I'm saying. Joe's leg is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with Joe's leg. It's just accuracy. You know, we're still working with him on the punting, but he is still booting the ball. I think he had 41.3-yard average, which is not what he came here to do. He came here to kick field goals, and here I talked him into being our punter because we didn't really have anybody else, and he's done a great job stepping in that role. And so as we're getting other guys ready to go to back him up because he's a senior, he's hopefully just continues to improve.
Well, good luck on the road this week. But you've got another home game coming up against Kingsville. We'll talk to you before the Javelinas come here next week. We want to see a big crowd. I think that's a blackout game for Midwestern State.
Yes, sir.
October 4th.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Pete, and go Mustangs.
That's Rick Trenor, the head football coach here at Midwestern State University. Thanks for listening to the Stain Gang podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast. Be sure to make your plans to be at Memorial Stadium. And if you can't make the trip to Odessa, you can see that game on Flow College, and we'll have an audio broadcast for you as well. Absolutely free at MSUMustangs.com. I'm Pete Stein. So long.